Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Pickle Juice. It's your boy, Zook, and as always, I'm super excited to join you all here for this conversation. As always, going to be joined by Josh, Dom, and Johnny to talk all things pickleball. This is going to be a quick one. We're going to try and do our best with recapping Sacramento, the APP, to the best of our abilities, touch on the PPA that's happening this weekend, because I know there's a lot of big names, going to be a stacked field. But let's kick it off with APP Sacramento. Dom, you were there. What was the buzz when you left to this evening? Who were people talking about?
Well, I mean, you had, you know, two repeats, obviously, or two back-to-back winners with Susanna Barr and Andre Dascu. And then, you know, you also had, oh my gosh, I'm drawing a blank, Pesettioni and Andre Dascu. So they go back to back. The partnership with Pesa and Andre was tested a little more. You know, there were times where they seemed not on the same page. So it was interesting to see that. And then Andre comes out with Susanna and they just completely dominate. So they right now, I think, are the team to beat. They were, you know, the two seed going in, but, you know, they're well deserving of a one seed because they've handled Hunter and Paris twice now.
Yeah, no, it's incredible. Josh, I know you were tweeting and talking a lot about Andre. Me and Johnny have been big Andre fans for a while, but when you watch this weekend, how good is Andre Dascu getting at this pickleball thing?
So he's the only guy in APP that plays Premier. And it's funny, he has that big kind of large frame, right? So you expect the guy to be like, have super heavy hands and be super imposing. He's actually just super, super solid. I just feel like he has a very high pickleball IQ. Just doesn't go through these big lulls, highs and lows. He stays very even keeled right in the middle. And does everything well. I was super impressed with him. Stats kind of back that up. He's got eight medals this year. Every event he's played in, he's medaled. Yeah, he's got a couple goals with Barr, a couple with Taoni, a couple with Kyle Yates. So guy's just been super solid and he's backed it up. So
yeah, incredible. And I know we talked about this last week with the Milwaukee Mashers being happy with the Lucy Cali duo. They also got to be happy with Andre as well. Johnny, what I want to ask you, a little bit of a not exactly about Andre's specific question, but more of a question, because you're someone who watches a lot of pickleball. What is like your opinion of what an APP weekend or an APP medal means relative to PPA? And my question for that is, I'm thinking like, what are people's real perspective of an APP relative to PPA, which we know is kind of the gold standard right now?
I think that's a really good question, man. When it comes down to it, right, we all know that, you know, right now the perceived best players in the world all play for the PPA. There are a handful of players, Andre being one of them. You see Susanna Barr, Megan Fudge could be in the mix there with some of those women's events on the PPA side. There's a handful that are pretty consistent. Everyone says Paris Todd, obviously, from last year. She had a lot of MLP success, kind of broke out in the scene. But we all, you know, everyone out there that's watched pro pickleball over the last year kind of knows that that was a bit of a falling out. She's taking a bet on herself, betting on her brand, you know, for better or worse. She's putting herself in the mix. But the big thing is, when it comes down to it, the only place where we really, really get to see everyone compete together is some of these big MLP events and then the off occasional PPA. Maybe also same with, obviously, the Nationals tournament that's happened previously out in California there, Indian Wells. It's interesting because if you're winning on the APP tour, if you're getting results, you're still getting recognition. You're still getting brand recognition too. When it comes down to it, we see a new gold medalist in the women's side this week that's come off two back-to-back impressive tournaments against similar competition. I guarantee you that Judith's name's going to be mentioned here when it comes to the shuffle draft in MLP. We might see her here a little bit more going forward in other events as well if she has a great showing in MLP. And, you know, you can really build a name for yourself. Even today, this evening, just kind of keep an eye on the Twitter feed. I thought that Anna Bright brought up a great point on Twitter as well. She said she feels like she's maybe underestimated Andre Dascu a bit because he's been dominant relative to the double side, both mixed and men's, of course, in the APP. My only question to that would be, well, you know, you could make an argument that Andre is dominant. You can make an argument that the men's field might be a little bit thinner than people are accustomed to. You could also make the argument that maybe the women's competition level has risen in the APP as well. It's still somewhat early in the year, right? We're just getting through April, so about a third of the way through the year, a quarter of the way through the year, rather. And, you know, there's still a lot of TBD, I think, in this league to come.
Yeah, no, I think about that a lot. What I feel is the APP's path to success. I wonder if, like, what they're doing now is sustainable, right? If they can continue on. And I don't want to use these terms because it seems, like, derogatory, but, you know, like, watered down fields, per se. Like, if this is the path, right, to just get the people that aren't going to the PPA, or if there's another avenue that they should really try and tap into. And I don't have that answer, but I've always thought, you know, maybe focusing more on the amateurs and the people that aren't pros, the four fives, the fives, the fours, and throwing them events in the style that, you know, they're throwing for the pros now, and really just dominate that niche, which is 99% of the market. But I guess for right now, in the short term, there is, as we saw this weekend, if you want a medal, you deserved it. So for now, there's definitely enough of these pros playing in this to sustain it in the short term. But I wonder, you know, if they can continue on with this, because it seems like the PPA is slowly, when bigger names are coming, they're the first people to get those names if there is a path forward. And Dom, you're in the weeds with it. What is the feeling from people on the inside with, you know, me and Johnny spent a lot of times for months talking about these tour wars. We talk about 2023, 2024. What do you think the APP is going to focus on?
I mean, still, no matter what happens, there's still only three podium spots. So you can have all the best players in the world going to one event, and you get more and more of those players. But the only problem there is that when you have these players going to these events, you know, you're going to have really, really good players sometimes done by 9:30 in the morning. And so, you know, you get that feel too, that, you know, okay, maybe I shouldn't go test myself in that field. Maybe I should play, you know, some APPs or play the season on the APP, you know, test myself, get myself, you know, some recognition instead of, you know, sometimes these players are, oh, I'm great, I'm going to go here and go to, say, a PPA event, and they end up going two and out and they're done by 9:30 in the morning and you don't get any recognition. And so there's nothing wrong with having both tours and just, you know, kind of going back and forth, which is nice for a lot of the players. So, you know, that's kind of my feeling on it, where, you know, you get the upper echelon of the APP and they can compete with anybody. You know, I don't care who you are. You know, Andre Dascu is a premier level, you know, MLP player. He is a dominant male player in the game. Okay. In general, you know, Chad Edwards and I were talking about that today in the live stream. I looked over at Chad and I go, Chad, I'm like, let's just call a spade a spade. I haven't seen any male play this dominant in a long time. And I don't care where it is. It could be in, you know, Podunk, Iowa. And the way Andre is playing, especially with, you know, playing with Pesetioni, who's no one really knew before this other than the people outside of Arizona. And he put Pesa on his back, and Pesa played great. Don't get me wrong. I'm not taking anything away from Pesa, but with a relatively unknown player and taking two gold medals, and then him and Susanna Barr, there's just something about the two of them. They just kind of click together and they really mesh. And that's just another thing, something about, you know, players meshing. You may not be great with someone else, but you're great with that person. And that's exactly what you see with Susanna and Andre.
Yeah. And it's all about, it's so early right now. It's all still about the expected value of monetary compensation, but as well as recognition, right? If Andre is dominating APP, each weekend he's going to look at it and be like, hey, this PPA field has this. The prize money is that. This is how many people are in there. Here's an APP. The prize money is this. there's this amount of people in here. Probably the best case scenario for me is maybe to go to this APP because my chances to get the gold are that much higher. And again, like we're all saying, there still is that amount of people where it's not, you're not going to get respect, right? Like how many people are talking about Andre like we're doing right now? There's still the respect clearly of winning an APP. So as it stands right now, the players are definitely, you know, geography is still a little bit of a factor, but with money and with recognition, if you have a better chance on one tour, that's what kind of keeps it, you know, equivalent right now. And it could go back and forth, right? People will slowly maybe start seeing that there's arbitrage on one tour and go over there, and then it creeps over into the other tour. It's like all sports, right? They're pass happy in the NFL, and then people play defense to protect the pass, and then teams switch back to the run. The same thing kind of can happen with this tour where people can go to one. Then if that one overflows, they can go back to the other. So all these places still have the opportunity to win the hands of these players if they show them, you know, that that this is the right way to go about it, and they're showing tournaments that players want to go to and provide that monetary compensation and recognition. But Johnny, did you have something to say there?
I was just going to back up Dom on this because, I mean, this mixed field was pretty stacked. I mean, there was a handful of teams in this mixed field. You know, second rank was Stefan Auvergne and Simone. And, you know, they got bounced a little bit early, right? They didn't make a podium in that. Stefan got his podium in the men's run as well with Brendan Long. You know, so there was – in both sides, you know, the competition was still pretty fierce, I have to admit. So there are some things that – seem to have improved so far this year. And I definitely think the mix was a great representation of what this really could be. And the other thought is when you look forward to next week, North Carolina, you know, we're going to see one great example of new talent coming in Jack Sock. There's got to be a place for players over the next 1, 2, 3 years, because we're going to only see an increase of talent coming through as well, I believe, in all the ranks. So as we're going forward, you know, this tour doing what it's doing now, it's going to pave way for new talent coming in later.
Yeah, and the one thing that we're like the APP must do is when they have weekends to themselves like they did this weekend, they must capitalize on it like they did this weekend. I saw Twitter, I saw social media, I saw the YouTube chats. It was just another week of pickleball where the name of the tour in front of the tournament did not matter. People were talking about it. The field was great. The tournament was great. The one thing that I do want to touch on, though, before we do a little North Carolina preview, because I want to make sure we get into everything before I got to go, is we talked about Andre. We talked about Pesa. We talked about Miss Barr. You know, we talked about some of the players. One of the big things that I didn't understand too well, so I'm going to ask Dom to explain it a little bit more, is can we get into a little bit of what happened with the paddle drama? I know James was tweeting a little about it. I was trying to follow along what happened, like, but I'm not even going to try and say what I think was the case. What happened?
So what happened was the player who was using the paddle, they're playing their match.
Who's Dave? Is his name Dave?
I believe so, yes.
Okay.
So I didn't get all their names and everything. I knew who he was. It was Tyra Black's partner, Dave. I believe he's a Southeast Florida guy, so he knows James pretty well. They're pretty good buddies. So what happened was in the middle of, I believe it was their first round match, the opponents challenged the paddle, so they had a referee come out. The referee looked at the paddle and deemed that the paddle was fine. Okay, so it was fine. He continued to use it. Went on to win. After the match, they challenged the paddle again. So the match was completed. Paddle comes over and they go to the director, the referee, head referee, and the referee deemed that the paddle was loose, that it shouldn't be used anymore. And so they went to USA Pickleball rule book and what the rules stated as far as an illegal paddle, if something happened to an illegal paddle. Now, this isn't what APP, PPA, MLP came up with. This is what USA Pickleball already had in the rule book. So they came out and said the paddle's going to be thrown out. And if it happens after a match is completed, the paddle gets thrown out, but the team does not get disqualified. But they cannot use that paddle anymore. So that's what happened with that paddle, is it got thrown out And then he ended up using a different paddle. And the paddle he ended up using, of course, happened to be one of James's 002As. So he just randomly had one of the paddles that only James Ignatowicz is using. And so it was kind of funny. And then all of a sudden the tweet comes out from James, you know, stating all that and whatnot. And then I think if James had, I believe in my opinion, if James had thought about what he was about to tweet, he wouldn't have tweeted it, because then someone came and posted the video that he did on his podcast with Dave, I believe his name's Dave, and Dave even basically said, oh yeah, if anyone checks my paddle, it's probably pretty, I don't know, I'm not quoting, but I thought it was, it's probably pretty illegal. And so like the kid was basically admitting about his paddle, and then it gets thrown out. And then I believe, you know, James posted about that, and then it kind of blew up in their face just a little bit, in my opinion. But yeah, so that was the whole story of the whole paddle gate that we try to get away from, right? We talked about this last time.
Yes.
We try and get away from it, and then all of a sudden it comes up again this weekend.
Yeah, I was actually like not mad at any individual, just like it was another like, oh, this weekend was like so good and everything else. And again, like another paddle controversy where we just got to start a winning streak, and it starts with one. We need like one weekend of no paddle controversy.
Yeah, 0 days since our last accident, right?
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. It's just like unbelievable that it's happening. But also, like, if you think about it, like, maybe it isn't that unbelievable that happens, because the amount of paddles that are being used, and people aren't probably looking too closely at some of these paddles that they're using, if they're using them over time, that it kind of makes sense that after I learned exactly what delamination means, it's not out of the question, right, for, you know, non-malicious intent to still have a paddle that doesn't meet the requirements. So, you know, if it's only happening to maybe one paddle a weekend, maybe, you know, with those odds, it actually isn't happening too much. But I would just love for a single weekend of none of this and just us talking about the winners.
And I think
exactly.
It does prove the point, though, too, that when it comes to the two tours, the two main tours, when we talk about the PPA and the APP, in terms of just where they're both at, in terms of just implementation, regulation, at least it seems like the PPA is about a step ahead, right? They have some type of on-site testing in terms of an ultrasonic testing, which, again, just in layman's terms, is more of a true test to understand what's happening with the composition inside of the paddle, to be able to understand what the effect is happening inside. You know, that is one aspect there. I will say, for what it's worth, I did have a source on the ground level tell me at this event that this paddle was approved twice in the tournament before confiscated. So for what it's worth, you know, to be able to actually just take a look at the paddle, thumb test it, and say, oh, look, checks out. To do that twice and then remove it, you know, especially if that was within the first game, I believe it was within the first game, mm-hmm. that can be frustrating. But we do know that if a paddle is going to have decomposition during a match, you know, that can change from beginning to end. That can change. And if the paddle's already borderline, that could be a problem. So I think that's just the tug and pull of like, hey, you probably do need the proper testing. Again, it's something that we believe that the USAPA is moving forward with, trying to help implement the same type of regulations that the PPA and the MLP are doing. Hopefully APP can get on board and have the same type of professional setup, because it would just, I think, bode well.
Yeah, and it's an interesting conundrum, because I keep saying it, but it's really non-malicious intent, I think, almost in 100% of these times, where when you think about quote-unquote cheating or illegal equipment or illegal substances in other sports, a lot of times there is that malicious intent, even though pros will constantly say, oh, I didn't know that supplement was in the vitamins that my trainer gave for me, even though they were just sticking themselves with the needle of anabolic steroids. In these examples, I truly think, you know, there's not that malicious intent. So that's why it is so interesting. And again, what Johnny just said, we're hearing so often, right? It's a lot of times it's paddles that one person is telling them it's okay, and then they're being tested after the match, and they're being told they're not okay. You know, a few examples where they're saying it's borderline, but they're still leaving it up to the pros. So it's, you know, in those cases, the pros have to be smart, knowing that over time if they use that paddle, it can cross the threshold. But again, the common theme of these conversations with the paddle debates is, you know, we want them to end. It's really where we're going with it. Please. But that was the APP Sacramento. And again, we're not brushing over any of these topics. It's on me that I got to go quick tonight. So I just want to make sure we also do a little bit of a forecast. But where I want to start with the PPA Charlotte is Josh's pickleball takes for this tournament. I'll just go down the list is Jack Sock's debut. He's playing in all three events. Mixed with Anna Lee and doubles with Tyson. Anna Lee is back. The last tournament was her MLP. She missed Red Rock in Newport. This is probably the most loaded PPA field of the year when you consider in who's coming from APP. Again, we're missing Ben, but still, overall, the field is probably the deepest we've seen. Wild card names. A few people, because we're talking about the size of the field, that we don't see quite often. A few names Josh highlighted were Miss Summers, De La Rosa, Colin Schick, and the one we love, Jackie Kawamoto. And lastly, we have 80 men signed up for men's pro singles with a 32-person main draw. And Josh's words, giddy up. Josh, since this was your list, I just went down the five. I have a sneaky suspicion that it starts and ends with Mr. Sock, but I'll ask you, what are you mostly looking forward to in North Carolina?
Yeah, I mean, Sock is obviously the big headline. We saw what he did at Bubbly. I thought Adam Stone's comments were pretty interesting, but on point, where he said, well, first, Rob confirmed he's going to play a heavy 2024 pickleball schedule, which is awesome. And Adam said, and I'm kind of quoting here, if he goes 75-80% into it, he'll be the number one doubles player in the world within 2 years. That was an interesting take. The talent looks like it's there, but we need to see it, obviously, right, in more of a tournament type setting where, you know, the Bubbly was a little bit more friendly competition. I want to see how he holds up, you know, as the draw moves on, as things aren't going so well, how he responds to that. So I think that'll be interesting. And then, yeah, I think the APP players kind of moving over and playing this event is pretty cool. Like, I had some names highlighted. Sobek, Millie Rain, Stefan, Shelby, Judith, all kind of making that jump. I want to see how they do. We've seen players like Brendan Long in Austin make the semis. Brendan Long at Red Rock win the title with Tyson. We saw Susanna Barr take a bronze with Zane. So these players have had some success on the PPA tour. So I want to see how they do.
Yeah, it has like that golf major feel when the LIV players returning, right? That this is just a field of everyone. And it's good to see if there is that little bit of rivalry where do APP players really want to win this for literally the conversation that I brought up, the topic of what is the perspective of APP, right? What's better to increase people's opinion of it than for the players to come over to what is quote unquote the top tour and win, right? If you come over and win, that says enough about the competition on other tours, if those are the tours that you're coming from. But yeah, back to Jack Sock. Look, I'm not going to say I'm the expert of when I can look at someone's game and break down exactly what they're going to become. But the one thing about Jack Sock at the Bubbly is it seemed that a lot of the other tennis players were using their skill and either physical abilities to kind of dominate those matches. You saw Sock really kind of understand the game to a point where he was sending opponents out wide and then they were hitting it right up to him in the middle and the whole court down the middle was wide open and he was ending points. So, you know, he understood the game, I think, a lot more than some of these other top professionals that have come over. And since that moment, we've really, really wanted to see what he's going to look like. From what I've been hearing, he has been putting in some work. He is a very proud person, and I think that that's going to actually be a positive for something like this. I think he's taking it very seriously. I think he's practicing. I think he wants to come out in this PPA and back up his words that it's not going to be too tough for him. Back up his words or Adam's words that very soon he can become, you know, one of the best doubles players in the world. I think he seriously believes that, whether it's misguided or not. I don't think it matters because I think for him to be successful, he may need that mentality. So I'm looking forward to how he's going to play again. Playing with Anna Lee and Tyson is probably best case scenario for him. If he were to win mixed, we'd have to have a real discussion of like actually watching those matches, right? Was it Anna Lee being Anna Lee, or was it Mr. Sock really dominating from a male side of that match? And with Tyson, we know the run that he's been on recently since a lot of people have wrote him off. He's going to be super psyched to play next to Jack Sock, so we could see Tyson even get to another level than what we've been seeing recently. But yeah, this is good for the game of pickleball. I think it's a name that we've been hearing for a while. Finally get to see him on the court. I think there's going to be a lot of eyes on what's going on in Charlotte this weekend, and it's only good for the sport.
Yeah, when you have J-Dub and Georgia coming off their win, which was nationally televised, you know, that's a big gold medal for them. They're going back into a crazy mixed field. You know, you're going to have a handful of just the same top teams that are there, but now we're injecting some top tier talent from another sport. So we get to really see like, hey, can he make a splash? And I think where we would likely see a splash being made is Thursday. And as Josh pointed out on Twitter, it's 80 men signed up for the men's singles field. That's a gauntlet, but not just a gauntlet. We've got players that have competed at a high, high level, even the ones that have come out of the woodwork. Colin Schick is going to be in this field, whom we saw take Ben to task here recently. We also have Ryan Sherry coming back defending his title from last year. I know he was very proud of that. He's always a dark horse. You never know. Always. He pulls out tricks out of the bag, and he's in pretty good shape, man. I got to see him the other day. So he's in real good shape, especially from where he might have been at last year. But then again, I mean, that singles field is still stacked. You still have Tyson, who's been competing, and some others as well. So we never know, man. You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, it's exciting. It's exciting. And just back to Sock for a second, the partners really interest me again because, you know, one thing that we've seen from Sam Querrey is, you know, one thing I will give him credit for is maybe he's coming into some of these fields with a partnership that doesn't set him up potentially to be one of the highest, you know, ranked teams in the tournament. You know, next to Anna Lee or next to Tyson, if you're an okay to like good pickleball player, those are teams that should make it far. So we kind of have a good litmus test of, okay, we know what players you can put next to this two and would seriously have a chance. So if they aren't able to make it to a certain point of the tournament, that would say something about him. I think putting him with these two will really give us an insight as to how advanced he is in this game. It'll be very easy to see when he's standing next to these two exactly what level he's at, with the opportunity where if at the beginning he's not hitting at all cylinders, hopefully these two can help him find his feet, or we can see him play deeper into the weekend and see what he's made of as he gets to the more advanced, you know, doubles opponents that, you know, it takes a little bit of skill to beat, and he can't just rely on his partner. So I'm really, really excited to get to watch him.
My thing with him, though, is it's going to be interesting to see where he plays. Okay. I'm going to be very interested to see, you know, typically he would play on the left side with Anna Lee. You know, is that going to be, or is Anna Lee going to be like, okay, let me take the left to start and you play the right? With Tyson, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that Tyson's going to play the left and he's going to play the right. Well, if he's playing the left with Anna Lee and he's playing the right with Tyson, I'm going to be interested to see how he fares on both sides of the court as well, too. So it's going to be a little different test for him as far as sides of the court, too, because it's just it's a different ballgame and a different animal, especially from mixed to men's doubles, too. So I'm going to be very interested to see where he is on the court come mixed doubles day too with Anna Lee. So it's going to be very interesting, but if anyone can do this, it's Jack. You know, the short story I had about him was I met him last year at the Sarasota Open. He came over, hung out in our pickleball club tent. I got to meet him and his wife. They're absolutely amazing people. And he sought us out, and I'm talking at the Sarasota Open. This is a tennis, like a ATP qualifier. And he was there, and he beelined over to the pickleball club tent because he was like, oh, I play pickleball, blah, 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 this and that. And he was all about pickleball. And that was probably 14 months ago. And so from then, that's when I first met him, and he was all about pickleball. He talked to me every day. He was the nicest guy in the world. And if anyone's going to do this, I think it's him, because his athleticism and what we saw in the bubbly championships and what he could do, I think we're just, that was just the tip of the iceberg with him. Because on that day, I thought he was head over heels better than all three of the other gentlemen on the court that day.
Agreed 100%. And, you know, for people that don't know, he's one of the best American doubles players, at least of this generation. If you put his stats up against many others, I'm not a tennis expert. I would like to think they would look pretty well up against anybody. But I know in recent times, when it comes to doubles, he's been dominant. And I think that may skew people's perspective, because I know when it comes to tennis, a lot of times it's singles, it's the big names. If you're not performing in those, which, to be frank, he doesn't have the greatest singles career. So if that's where people are watching a lot of tennis, that's probably people's perspective. But again, if you're drawing parallels between the skills from the sport that transfer here, you look right to doubles, right? The quick hands, the ability to play at the net, the ability to volley fast. He has all that, and not just has it. He has it to the highest of ability that we've seen in recent times. So the people that understand that and the people that realize that, I think, are the ones like us that think he can literally do this. And it's not just a guy that's dropped the tennis racket last week and looks at this sport poo-poo and wants to just show people that he's dominated it. Like Dom said, he sought him out and he wanted to practice and learn how to play. From everything I've heard, he's been playing for years, obviously picked it up recently, ramped it up to an extreme level where he's taking it pretty much full time now. But this is someone who's picked up a pickleball paddle and wiffle ball for quite some time and been looking forward to, I think, doing this for a little bit and finally doing it. It's going to be fun to see what happens. I really don't even know what to expect. If you ask me to forecast it, I think they do pretty well. That's me being extremely confident in his partners just as much as I'm forecasting how good he's going to do. But yeah, I think they're going to do pretty well. Again, if they don't, with the names that he's playing with, people are going to immediately think that he is the cause of any quick out for these teams. So I don't know if that's pressure. I don't know if that's privilege. For his personality, of what I know, I think he's looking forward to that pressure and looking forward to have the X on his back, where no matter who he plays and no matter who he gets in the draw, people know that they're playing Jack Sock and everyone else is going to turn it up a level. So if he does this, doesn't matter who his partners are, he's going to earn it. So we'll see what happens. There's people rooting for him. There's people not rooting for him. No matter what, it's polarizing. And when something's polarizing, people will watch. So for fans like us, it's good for the sport.
I'd expect the X Factor to be a pro Jack Sock crowd. He's from the area. I think the casual fans there will be all rooting for him to do well. And the players that he has, Tyson McGuffin and Anna Lee Waters, they tend to have the crowd in their favor as well. So that would be one thing that I think is going to bode well for him this weekend too. Although I would keep my eye on Tyson McGuffin while he's been a fan favorite. I think there's been some ruffled feathers amongst the pro ranks. So we'll see.
No, yeah, that's it's going to be really fun to watch. I would agree with that. And he's also someone who will probably, that will help him out, having that crowd behind him, playing in some bigger arenas and bigger stages in his career. To hear a crowd, especially in his favor, will definitely help him out. But Josh, I'm looking at this cheat sheet I have in front of me that you built for the PPA Charlotte. What are some, you know, there's a lot of people in this, but what are some names that you truly think, not from the top echelon when we're talking about how deep it is, some new names that you think can make a run in this thing?
Ooh, yeah, I guess we'll start, you know. Yeah, I mean, men's doubles, I'm looking at just Fed and Pablo, man. I mean, I know they're names that we know about, but, you know, they just keep getting better and chugging along and just had a great result in Newport, and they just seem like they're gelling right now. And with no Ben and no Colin in the fields, it's pretty wide open. You know, obviously we've talked in length about MacGuffin and Sock, but we just don't know what that result's going to look like. So I'm looking to a team like that that looks to have a ton of confidence right now. Seems to be gelling at the right time. I'm looking for them to make a podium this weekend.
Yeah, it's
what about a Tyler Loom, James Ignatowicz? That team really intrigues me, like, a lot. Like, Tyler Loom coming off MLP championship, Ignatowicz, all his recent success. I like that team for some reason on paper. Who knows? They may blow up in my face. But right now, I like the Loom Ignatowicz team going into this weekend. That'd be a sleeper for me.
Yeah, you can always sell me on a good lefty in the sport of pickleball to make a run. I just feel like it's such an advantage if both people are playing on their forehand. And especially the way that Tyler Loom plays, it's just such a different look for the opponent. Look, he doesn't, It's not something that he's winning every gold and it's a unbeatable strategy. But I think over the course of time, if you're the person that's constantly showing your opponents a different look, It does give that advantage to you. So yeah, that's definitely a team I would look out for. I think there's so many when you build these lists now, especially when, like Josh said, Ben and Colin are out. It's really wide open. Ben has almost this Max Verstappen feel to him, right? Whenever he's in a tournament, it's him versus the field. But whenever he's not in it, It's literally wide open. And it's very similar to when Max Verstappen either gets the pole in qualifying or finishes very high. It's always him versus the field. But when he is back, if he crashes in qualifying or is 19 or 20, the whole thing just opens up. And I'm not here to say that the sport is better one way or the other, whether Ben's involved or he's not. But it's definitely different when he's not there. And the names that you see make it deeper into the tournament and into Sundays tend to be some names maybe we haven't heard of when the Johns brothers aren't there. And as someone who constantly finds himself rooting for the underdog, that's one of the things I love about sports. It's one of the reasons I was watching the Florida Panthers beat the Bruins before this. I like that. I like that. So again, I never want to say, oh, it's better without, but I do like the vibe. And I think people genuinely walk into this thing with a little bit of a maybe change in their mental fortitude of, hey, I can actually genuinely win this thing because the Johns brothers aren't there. And I think that does a lot for people.
Mm-hmm. I think it does. I also would say if the lines came out today and we saw what the bracket looked like, it's going to really depend on seeding here, but we're going to see JW and Dylan make a strong run. It would be a shock to not see them in Championship Sunday. They're coming in hot. After their recent wins, they've beaten Riley and Matt Wright twice in a row now in big tournaments. Although those are two that are due for a run again themselves. I know Riley was out for a little while since he'd come back from a little bit of a break. He has not played up to probably his standard of last year. He seemed to be in Championship Sunday every week heading into the beginning of this year. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Riley and Matt facing off in men's doubles again against J-Dub and Dylan at the end of the week. And of course, you know, the mixed side is going to be a pretty sweet deal. Same with the women's as well.
That's the thing about this field. Legit, as everyone's naming names, every time someone names someone or a pair, I'm like, ooh, they could win this. Or, ooh, yeah, they could win this. So it's legit complete parity. And I think anyone could win. But unfortunately, I gotta run. I'm leaving my wife at the airport right now. I should have left already. But before I go, I just want to go around, and it doesn't have to be a winner. It doesn't have to be even a podium. But everyone just – and we'll start with Johnny, and we'll go around. Name a name that we'll talk about on next week's episode that we haven't brought up so far in our discussion about the PPA this weekend. And it could be brought up for any reason, and you don't have to give the reason why it's brought up, but potentially who's a name that you think we're talking about coming out of this weekend that we haven't talked about so far?
Etta Wright. And I say that because I probably stole yours. Huh? I finally stole Etta. Etta's coming back off an injury. So as long as she's playing with Vivian David this week, that is an exciting duo. And again, a stacked women's lineup. You're going to see CP and Anna Lee playing again together. So they would be the odds on favorites. But I really like that team of Etta Wright and Vivian David.
Yeah, yeah. I think the reason I was going to say her was especially with her not being there last week. With how quick this stuff moves, like she was coming off some wins and then she doesn't play and some other names pop up. We would not be surprised at all if, again, we're seeing Etta Wright at the top of any of these podiums that she's playing in this weekend. Dom, who sticks out for you?
Well, kill me because I gave it away, my Ignatowicz Loom pick. I love that team, so that's my one. But if you want me to go a little bit more out on a limb, we talked about her a little bit to start the show, but women's singles, Judy Castillo.
Yo, you guys are killing me.
Heck yeah.
Johnny takes Etta. I say to myself, okay, I'll go Judith. Dom takes Judith.
No, Judith's going to make a run. She's as solid as they come. I watched her a little at the U.S. Open, not a ton because I was running around like crazy. But this weekend got up close and personal watching her game, and watching her attitude too is absolutely amazing. This girl is awesome. She's going to be awesome. She's just going to keep getting better, and she's going to be someone we're talking about after this weekend.
Love it. Love it. Josh, how about you? If you take this person's name, I'm actually going to be upset.
I don't think I'm going to
do it, Josh. Finish it.
I'm gonna go AJ Kohler. Got a silver in Red Rock with Jesse Irvin. He's teaming up with Andrea Koop. They won gold in Newport last year together. That is a pick that can either blow up in my face or make a big run as hot and cold as AJ can run. But I think he's gonna have a good weekend, so I'll go with him.
No, I like that name. I like that name. And again, one that, yeah, hasn't probably been talked about over the past few weekends, but
exciting, you know, men's doubles.
Yeah, you know what they say about AJ, when AJ is hot, you know, he's someone who he's making all of his shots and playing aggressive. He's tough to beat. My name or names of the weekend will be that Connor Garnett beats Colin Schick in the gold medal singles match in PPA Charlotte. The Colin Schick one is a little bit more of like, let me take it to more of an extreme, but my real take is Connor Garnett will win singles. I don't even think that's really going out on the limb. I think that's more of, we've just seen him rev up and he's paying his dues, which I think happens in pickleball. You never just go from the first match to gold. You got to win one, then you win two, then you get into that bronze medal match, and then eventually you make a Sunday. I think he's going to make a finals in singles, Mr. Garnett, and really establish himself as a name people have to look at, where I don't know if he has the doubles game yet to be considered for Premier, but if the Dream Breaker is as prevalent in San Clemente and changes wins as much as it has in the prior two ones, it'll be interesting to see if these owners who really dive deep into the numbers and really build a team start looking for maybe just one or two specific single specialists in this. And he's one of those names. So a name that I've been going back to the well probably for a little bit, and I constantly pick Connor Garnett to win the golden singles. But I think that this is the weekend. So Johnny went Etta, Dom went Judit, Josh went AJ Kohler. I went Connor Garnett. We will see. We will revisit this next week, and we'll go over all the names. We'll either grade them as, yeah, we'll talk about them, or we'll pass, and we'll see which of us properly predicted the names that we will be talking about next week. But Josh, Dom, Johnny, I know this was a quick one, but I think we did a good job of accurately talking about as much as we could of what happened in Sacramento while also touching about what happened in Charlotte. Next week, we'll definitely put some time aside, because I think regardless if we bring up any of those four names, there's going to be a ton of names to bring up just by the amount of people that are playing. So definitely a lot of conversation will happen. But I know that this is one of those weekends where, like, I don't leave my computer or my YouTube on my TV, the app, and I'm just watching all weekend. I'm looking forward to that again. I'll even put my hand up and I'll say with the Knicks and Rangers this weekend, there's a little bit of touch and go, but next weekend I'm back at it and excited for Charlotte. But is there anything else for you? First off, you're in Charlotte, Dom?
No, I'm in LA at Tennis Channel Studios producing this one.
Yes, you told us that that last week. So that's another conversation that we'll have next week, because I'm very interested, because I know a lot of sports have been doing that since COVID. Even the Rangers specifically, they don't send the announcers out, and a lot of them are doing it from the booth. Sam Rosen is actually my wife's godfather, so I get the chance to talk to him a lot about, you know, calling the Ranger games, and he hates it. He hates calling it from the at-home booth when the Rangers are on the road. So I'm interested to pick your brain about it. If, you know, they show you enough angles where it's actually better and you can see more, or if they don't show you angles and there's things you need to be there to be able to experience, but it'll be fun to watch and we'll be watching. Yep. So that will be good. And Johnny, Josh, is there anything from you guys about
Duke,
this weekend?
I got two quick things. One, sorry about your Knicks today.
This is what I'll say, though. I had to give up the Knicks to win the Rangers tomorrow. The Knicks losing today was part of my three-point plan for the Rangers to beat the Devils in Game 7. But fair. Continue.
Second, how was it interviewing Drew Brees, Larry Fitzgerald, and Gary Vee?
I got a lot of my friends to finally ask me what the heck I'm doing with this pickleball thing and get interested in it, right? A lot of my friends were not interested in it at all. And whenever I would talk about pickleball, they'd be like, what the hell are you talking about? My friend group is a diehard sports friend group and a diehard football group. So, Johnny, you know the question that for months I've asked pros, like, what was that eureka moment when they went pro that made them realize that, you know, they made the right decision to go at this full time. You know, seeing Drew Brees and Larry Fitzgerald talk about the sport, not even with me, just those people talk about the sport. You know, I was watching the game at a bar, the Knicks game with my buddy this weekend. I mean, today, and he was legit asked me about it. And he's like, yeah, I think this thing is going to get big. If like Drew Brees and Larry Fitzgerald, this is the sport that they're playing. And I'm like, yeah, I think so as well. So real, as much as, you know, we talk all about the time, talk all the time about how it's, you know, the owners that matter just as much as the big names are the ones that, you know, may not be as big and get the headlines. But when you actually look into them, they've built businesses, they built leagues, so they're great for the MLP. You still need names like this for the common person, like my friends, that the only time they're going to read about pickleball and have the chance to get in it is an ESPN. You know, if there's a headline like when LeBron won a team, I mean, bought a team and Bleacher Report was all over it. Or, you know, if they go on Instagram and they see a Larry Fitzgerald or a Drew Brees or a Gary Vee talking about it. So as much as I had fun with it, I really loved the fact that my friends were like, okay, this is going to be big. So I hope, you know, whoever listens to this, if anyone hears that story, you know, the MLP should know that these owners do have that sway. And maybe in San Clemente, any of them that are there, you know, not annoy them, but if they can get them on camera, get them on the live stream. If someone was sitting next to Larry Fitzgerald when the Arizona drive were on for like a few points and Dom was in his ear and just asking about like, what do you think about your team, blah, blah, blah. Like that stuff means stuff for, you know, the people that aren't watching currently. And when right now we're in fan acquisition mode and we're trying to get as many people as possible, those are real low hanging fruits of, you know, people may not watch it live, but, you know, ESPN or Bleacher Report or Yahoo Sports or tons of people on Twitter, that's going to be the clip that they chop up, right? Larry Fitzgerald, 2 minutes talking about his team. So it excites me, and you saw how much that they genuinely like the sport, and it makes it easier because we always talk about it. You can love a sport that you play, and they play it. So there's no BS with them, which I think people knew, and my friends that watched it were like, damn, these people actually like that sport.
It was a natural passion.
It was. It really was. It really was. And I've heard that about them. Drew's been playing for a while from the beginning with MLP, right? And Larry recently getting involved. I don't, anyone who's a fan of Barstool has saw, you know, where they were down in Arizona for the Super Bowl. Larry was playing with them and he was really into it. And when I asked Drew, he said it, right? Like, they're athletes. Like, they just want to compete. It doesn't matter if they're skipping rocks across a lake, right? Like they want to throw some money on it, and they want to beat the guy next to them that's skipping rocks across the lake. So that's what this sport offers. It's accessible for people to play, so people are going to play it, and it gets your competitive juices going. So that's my take on that conversation. I like that they keep clipping it up, because more and more people, if they see them talking about it, hopefully will like it. But yeah. Yes, you know, you got to cover all – that's what's great about this sport, right? You're talking to the pros. You're talking to the amateurs that are going through shit in their life and they're using pickleball as an escape. You're talking to Hall of Fame NFL players. Where else are you talking to like these different people and having the same conversation? You can close your eyes and it doesn't matter who you're talking to on the other side of the screen. You can ask them the same questions and they're going to give them you their perspective on that answer. And it's special and it's fun, but I appreciate you asking that because it was a lot of fun. More stuff like that to hopefully come in the future. But yeah, my wife's waiting for me at the local airport, but you know, her flight was delayed multiple times. So I'm going to get away with it by saying that I thought it was delayed one more, but Johnny,
until she watches this podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
Johnny, Josh, Dom, I hope you guys have a great week. You know, we'll always be in touch as we are. We'll watch the PPA this weekend and we'll definitely set aside more time than this next week to talk about all that's happening in Charlotte. But if you listen in to this now, we appreciate you tuning in for the quick recap of APP Sacramento and forecast of PPA Charlotte. As Johnny 5.0 normally likes to say, keep it juiced.
Keep it juiced.
Peace.